All right, it's Super Crosstalk time, and joining us right now is Cappy. Cappy, what are you doing? Love Boat?
Love Boat!
Cap, what's happening?
How are we living today, guys?
Excellent.
Well, love I called our guest on the phone a really bad word, apparently, at the very beginning of the interview that got dumped. I didn't realize that was a bad word.
I wouldn't
word.
Have dumped it. Bergen's a dump happy.
No, I read
there.
The I read the meaning of it, and the meaning of it is really not what I thought.
What'd you call him?
Wait a minute. Michael, what was was your final question? How did you word it? The tiebreaker with me and David.
What was the population of England?
Okay. According to, what did David say?
He said 57 million and you said 56.
According to Chris Ann Eastwood, one of our listeners, David hit it right on the number.
Did he say 67?
Really? No, UK is 67.
Right.
England is 57 because Ireland's part of the UK. So you...
Yeah, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, all part of the UK.
So David...
No, not
won.
Ireland. Ireland's not part of the UK. Ireland's an independent nation. I'm talking
Northern
about Northern Ireland.
Ireland.
It's Northern Ireland.
Yeah. Northern Ireland, not Ireland.
Would you Northern Ireland is part of it, and then...
Yeah. Yeah, anyway,
67.
57 million is the right number for England. So David hit it right on the number, or he Googled one of the two.
No, I don't think that guy was Googling.
No, he was driving.
Okay.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael, I just want to ask you real quick. I know that you were down there in Hawaii, and we've been following the trip on social media. One of my really good buddies, a guy named Brad Holland, was part of the trip, and I've been talking to him about it kind of offline.
Former USD head coach, Brad Holland.
Right, and a former UCLA star, and by the way, he was drafted in the first round the same year Magic was drafted, and I just felt so happy for him because he's not a guy who is in, you know, Laker lore in any way.
Yep.
And so he just was telling me, I mean, just as first class as could possibly be, and I think he was so happy to just be a part of it, which I thought was super cool.
Yeah, him and his wife was there.
How many players roughly, Michael, were there?
Oh, had to be at least 25 of us, something like that.
How great is that?
Yeah, only the guys who couldn't make it were Norm Nixon, Jamal Wilkes. Mitch was busy with a family matter, but that was the only ones who were really missing. But it was great. It was beyond first class, Cap.
Yeah.
So,
and by the
Shano,
way, the real
there,
by
Shano?
The way, Cap, the real Cap was there. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That's right. Go.
Yeah.
The real Cap.
How sore were you after the walkthrough?
That's not.
Did anyone run at the walkthrough?
Are you kidding me? No way. The only Billy Thompson tried to dunk. He's like fingertip dunked and missed him a couple of times. He was the only one stupid enough to try that.
Anybody get hurt?
No. Everybody. The stretching was hurting us. We started stretching. That's for sure. Some of us needed help getting back up off the floor.
Yeah. By the way, how good a shape is Riles in at this stage?
Well, he's not. He needs knee replacement. But
no, I know. But like, he's thin. He looks good.
Yeah, he looks the same and everything. Yeah. Byron Scott, Ronnie Lester, Wes Matthews, and AC Green look like they can still play, and then they all work out. And Wes Matthews still plays in a 60 and over league.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, these guys
are really
crazy.
Cool.
Yeah, Byron has always been in great shape, which is why when he smacked you in the face that one time, it hurt.
Oh!
It never happened.
Yeah.
So, Shadana, why'd you storm off yesterday? I heard part of this. I got my car to go to acupuncture, and all of a sudden you're not there. You turn your mic off. You walk away. You're like, nobody tells me what to do. What the hell happened?
Well, first of all, I didn't storm off. Like, that's not actually what happened.
Well, you did turn off your mic and
walk away. No, I didn't turn off my mic, nor did I walk away. I sat right here. I just sat in silence for a second is what I did.
Protest.
Because, well, the other part of it is, you know, we are, you know, kind of entertainers on here. So after a little while, I just decided to ham it up a little extra. But what I did get originally upset about, which is, and I said that all of us should be upset if anyone would accuse us of this here, was we were basically being accused of being censored by management, which I said I would never stand for. And I would imagine no one else here at this place would stand for.
I don't think I've ever been censored here.
You were censored earlier today. What are you talking about?
No, that was on me.
No, I mean, what you said.
I did basically
is
what
not
Sedano
a bad
says.
Thing.
I said a bad word.
You
and
did
it
not
got
say
done.
A bad
I'm
word.
I'm going to look it up. I don't think
not
that
a
is
bad
a bad word.
Word.
What's that? The wank?
The wank.
No.
He called David Kent a wanker.
No, that's like
no,
a
they
John.
Use that on Ted Lasso all the time.
It's so not a bad word.
That's not.
It does get used on Ted Lasso a lot. No,
but Greg, why would you? I'm just curious. I'm being very serious.
Okay, Greg, I looked it up. It says it's a slang. And it's defined as a
contemptible
person.
Yeah.
Used as a general term of abuse.
Of abuse. Yes. It's not. Look, it's not a good word. Even when David Kent says that it's not a good word to use, also that means don't use.
But it doesn't mean you can't use it on the radio.
No.
Okay.
Well,
it has another.
It's not one of the seven deadly words.
It has another meaning, which would make
George
Greg right.
Words, right.
Yeah. That's okay. There you go.
Did you see the secondary meaning?
Yeah. The secondary meaning is just.
Yeah, but that's secondary. Like, no, we're talking idea. About primary.
Doesn't
yeah.
matter.
No, but it's Tyson's
again,
theory.
We still work okay, for so overall.
Definition one is a very stupid or unpleasant person, usually a man.
Right. That's the way you must have used it, I'm sure.
Definition, you know what? No mames, okay?
Okay. Definition three is a very stupid person.
There you go.
But definition two is a person who...
messes what? Around?
Who what?
Pleasures himself.
Oh, yes, okay. Pleasures.
So what?
So what?
A lot. With everybody
wine.
Does that.
Yeah, well, I right. ironically. I drink like a lot of wine. I pleasure myself with wine.
There you go, Michael. Exactly.
There you go.
Come on, Bergie. Really, man?
But so Mason,
just because it's in a different type of language doesn't mean we still can't dump it.
It's
we still
not
have
a
to.
Different language. It's English.
Yeah. Well, Mason, yeah, it is English.
But it's yeah, it's like saying an F word.
It is English.
No, it's not like saying an F word.
It is actually English.
This is interesting. I have had the dump button used on me many times, but I personally have never hit the dump button. Yeah.
Well, that's because you sometimes don't know that you're getting into trouble.
Well, I don't care. Yeah. So, Donner, I mean, do you ever use the dump button?
Oh, I have in the past.
He dumps himself.
Yeah, I mean, but it's usually when I curse, I'll dump myself, like right. knowing that I'm going to curse. So.
Right. Cap, yeah. How about you? Use the dump button?
I don't use it on me. Sedano has used it on me. Laura uses it on
me
all
Laura
the time.
Laura uses it on us all the time. She, didn't all you hear her yell? Time.
Yeah, that's her job.
When I just said what I said in Spanish, did you hear in the back going, oh, Lord?
Yeah, I didn't.
Oh. Yeah.
Weak-ass Clippers.
Weak-ass Clippers. Can we dump? Can we keep that or we have to dump it?
No, we got
to
dump weak-ass that. It was Clippers. Mean. Yeah. It was mean. Yeah. It's too mean.
Oh, it's already beeped for you, Greg.
Thank you.
Patrick Beverly calling the Clippers weak-ass is apparently
cool.
allowed.
Now, yeah. What I said be in the podcast?
Sure.
No.
Send me a blank check.
What?
Come on.
Come on.
Really
it's been eliminated
did?
From everything.
Yeah. So anyway, wow. Mace, it was, they were, like, for some reason, it became this thing that we weren't talking about Brett Favre for some reason. Like, there was some edict to not talk about Brett Favre being an awful human
Well, you
human
guys
being.
Would never talk about Brett Favre anyway.
Right. That was my
it's
point.
Not,
why would we talk about
we
Brett
do.
Favre?
Yeah, it's not what we do here.
Well, especially on our show, the brand is stupidity. Like, why would we talk about that?
Yeah,
we didn't want to talk about... We gave Ireland crap for making us talk Robert Sarver, for God's sake.
Yeah, we did a Robert Sarver segment today.
Very
but
relevant
he is selling the thing now, so...
Hey, surprised?
What do you think, Sedano? Me and Ireland's got a bet. Ireland says the Suns won't sell for no more than about $2 billion.
I say it'll be closer to $2 billion, George. Michael says it'll be closer to $3 billion. Yeah. Who's on the right side of that bet?
I mean, it always depends on just kind of like... Like, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. You know what I'm saying? And there's only 30 of those.
And the prices keep going up.
Yeah, yeah. If I had to guess, I would say Michael's going to be closer to being right, John.
Okay, well, 2.5 is a wash.
Right.
2.4 and lower 2.5, is me.
Right.
And 2.6 and above is Michael. I got
no, no, no. I would even say 2.500000 and 1 cent. Okay?
Is Michael.
To win for
yeah.
Michael.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. But you know, here's the thing. Below that is Ireland. 2499999 is Ireland.
You know that he bought that team about 20 years ago, not fully 20 years, call it 17, 18 years ago, for about 400 mil.
400 mil.
And so
God,
now,
we should pool together and buy him.
Well, I mean,
come
listen,
on.
If pool if together. Is, what kind of money do you think we have around here?
Well, Mason yeah, really. And Michael are loaded.
Bucks.
We could
well,
buy,
Mason,
you know,
yeah, Mason sold all those theaters
yeah.
back in the day.
So, I mean, they could be the primary investors and we'll be minorities.
Well,
crazy.
I told Cappy he should go. He got mad at me when I said that Sided should be one of the patches of the team. Then he started barking at me the other
yeah,
day.
Yeah, what's
that's
wrong
not
with
exactly
Sided?
Right.
Cappy's got this high
that's what I said.
I
said it as like a tribute to Sided. It should be on a. It's a good way to get promotion for Sided, and then he started yelling at me.
Why would yell at you. Wait? Hey, Cap, why would you be against Sided being a jersey sponsor?
No, I'm totally for it.
Okay, yeah, because I think that'd be
I'm
smart.
100% for it. I just don't have
what
the
you
cash.
Want. What
How
you,
much are those jersey sponsorships going?
For? Depends. Right, yeah.
Well,
like,
I remember
about 20
that,
million.
Well, I remember when Wish did
I'm
it.
Out, George,
so this
I'm
is
out.
It. Went. It was 12 million yeah. for 3 years.
I think, for 3 years, Cappy, come on.
I think BBGO paid more.
Yeah. The
it doesn't have to be the Lakers, though, Cappy.
No,
you could do
well,
like any
right.
team.
No, yeah, no,
do
I've got
the
a
Sacramento
chance.
Kings.
There
that's
go.
Gotta be cheap.
I got a better chance with the Kings
yeah.
than I do with the Lakers. That's all. Or the Suns,
yeah. Do like the
matter.
Pelicans or something.
That's a pretty
or,
nice
know.
Return on his investment, though, right, Cap? $400 million
well, right.
to $3 billion.
Well, that's just it. I mean, it's so it's like, oh, I'm the victim. I did all these wonderful things in my life, mm-hmm. but the cancel culture came for me. Hey, bro, you're gonna take a $400 million investment and sell it for 2.5, and what was the rest of that, George? 0.00001.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You've just banked 200
But that's true.
I mean, come on.
But see, Cap, the fun of a lot of these owners is owning a franchise. You know, they can sell like Jeannie Buss could sell the Lakers right now for probably $6 billion. But they have the fun of owning the franchise. Right. That's why they don't sell them.
Well, yeah, listen, that's why Sarver originally bought in, is because he wanted to be the Mark Cuban of Phoenix. And, you know, this is a guy who has owned a very, very well-known real estate specialty bank called Torrey Pines Bank. And then he decided, you know what, I'm going to go buy the Suns, and I'm going to go move over to Phoenix, and I'm going to try and become the next Mark Cuban. So everybody wants to be Mark Cuban all of a sudden.
No, it's Joe Lacob. Light years
ahead of everybody.
Cuban's got one title. Lacob's got four.
Michael, why don't you call Joe Lacob and tell him to buy the Angels?
Matter of fact, he is interested in looking at. He is looking at the Angels.
Then
is
you
he?
Could you mm-hmm. get Trace traded to the Angels. You can go to every.
There
game.
You go. Get Trace traded to the Angels and tell him tell him he needs a Cuban to call the games. There you go.
No, Trace is happy right where he is.
Yeah, you don't want him going to the Angels. No. Stay with the Dodgers. That's right.
Michael, you and I. How about you and me? You leave Ireland behind. You and me should call some baseball together.
Oh yeah, baseball's so easy to call. You just sit there and tell stories. You know, and this guy was
baseball's the hardest one.
No way.
Oh my God, boring.
No. Here's what I would say. Baseball, the action is easier, to Michael's point, because there's less action.
Right.
But you've got
to
be
great. Fill.
But you've got, right, storytelling is the... But I feel like, Michael, you could tell stories for days.
Yeah, all day long, man. Growing up watching Maury Wills, the great late Maury Wills.
I mean, Ireland's limiting you because basketball, the analyst barely gets to say anything on radio.
Exactly. Oh, have you heard our games? I just let him go. Are you kidding?
Sometimes I take over.
There is no play. There is no color analyst in the NBA who talks more than Michael.
Remember when I said, Kyrie Irving passed it over to some guy in the corner. I don't know who that is. He takes a shot.
You filled in that one day.
When Ireland had COVID. Yeah.
And Michael had to do it. He's like, the ball goes down to that kid from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Well, one of the great pieces of audio that's out there somewhere is Johnny Most, the legendary Celtics announcer. One time they had a preseason game against like Serbia, and he spent zero time learning any of the names of the Serbian players. So it's like, the bearded guy throws it over to the short guy, and the tall guy laid it in. He was such a legend in that market, nobody cared.
That's great. Hey, I was watching today, guys, the YouTube feed of the Mason and Ireland show. Mace, I don't know what the final vote tally was on who's better looking, you or Ireland, but John, you're having a phenomenal hair day today.
Well, you know, I do have TV hair, Cap. That's one thing that different. Mason wears a hat every day now.
I have the updated results from our poll yesterday, who's better looking, Mason or Ireland.
Oh, this is in your community. Okay, good.
68% went with Ireland.
What? Screw that.
Well, the funnier poll is when Mason asked his followers who's better looking and they picked me.
It's very close.
Yeah, so was the Ram game.
It's very 50-50.
Who won? The Rams. That's it.
Yeah,
second place sucks.
See, I think people like to troll me. That's the problem. I can put something out there. People want to troll me. They want to hear me.
All right,
upset,
so how do you explain Sonano's community poll? There's nobody in there that wants to troll you.
Sonano, are there people in the circle of trust?
I don't know.
Troll me?
What do I know?
68% is a pretty convincing victory.
A landslide.
That's like what Obama beat John McCain with.
Yeah,
you know, that's way out there.
Who would win between Sonano and Cap?
Oh, Cappy would.
Really?
No, I
they
don't
love
know
Cappy.
No,
Cappy
I don't
can
know.
Do no wrong no, in, my,
think
in our
George,
community.
No. George has such amazing, beautiful skin.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, can you rally, George, the minority community?
The Latino look.
Yeah, because then you would be in good shape.
Yeah, the Latino heat that Laura likes.
Don't ask Laura who's better looking. I got no chance.
Yeah, Laura, who's better looking, Sedano or Cap?
Come on. Check them out. That's weird.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Why would I be checking out my coworkers?
You're just asking for an opinion. Who's more handsome?
That's all.
¿Quién es más macho?
All right.
two different questions, Cappy. Oh. I will say Sedano.
Yeah, Sedano's good looking.
Just because,
guy.
You know,
he's
Cap is always telling him that he has Botox, and he does not.
Okay, so Lindsay, what do you think?
I'm going to decline to comment on that.
Why?
Wait, we're in radio. You can't decline to comment.
Yeah. Who's better
Listen,
looking?
Listen, Ireland, I got reviews coming up. I can't piss anybody
off. Oh,
I
hear
you. There you go. Smart girl.
Right. So, Scott, what do you think about Lindsay's performance? Not very good because she thinks George is so much better looking.
By the way.
That's actually, Lindsay, I take it back. That's actually a very smart answer.
By the way, Big E.
Thanks,
Eric,
guys. Trying to get me fired.
Big E, Eric Herrera, who is a big fan of the station, tweets, I will be disappointed if George isn't calling the Sided.com Bowl on New Year's Day, Cappy.
Hey, Cal, that's not a bad idea. There's so many bowl games. You could probably get some, like, one of those bowl games that gets played, like, the day after Thanksgiving.
Like the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl. The Jimmy Kimmel Bowl.
I called the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we do have a big round coming up of fundraising, institutional fundraising.
Oh, where do I send the check? Where do I send the check?
I'm in on that. Okay. I'm in on that. Side You're all in. Thing. He's going to sell it for $1 billion, and you guys are all going to be sorry.
I'm not going to send it.
We are all pro-sided.
We are pro-sided. Cappy thinks that just because I mock it, I kid because I care.
Because I mock it.
No, I want all my friends to be rich, including you, Cap. So I'm rooting for you to make a fortune.
And I was one of the original Sided adopters. I have left Sided because of Cappy, just being
unreasonable.
You quit on Sided?
I did. I quit on Sided.
Now, what kind of support is that for your boy, right?
Yeah.
I told George, I'm listening this past weekend to the Broncos versus the Texans. Yeah. I don't care about the Broncos-Texans. I don't need to listen to that game on the radio, but my man is calling the game, so I want to be there to support my man.
I mean, I support you in everything else now except Sided.
Yep. George tells me he's coming out with a competitive product.
What does Sided do? What does Sided do?
It's basically like a poll.
A debate site, yeah.
Well, you guys,
would Google or Apple be interested in buying it?
Absolutely.
Maybe.
Did you see that some guy had a graphic design business and then Adobe bought it for him for $20
billion? $20 billion?
$20 billion. He's 30 years of age, too, so he's young enough to enjoy it. $20 billion.
Right, now maybe he should go buy a team.
Or maybe he should just buy
the Suns. Yeah.
Michael, let's buy the Suns. We can think about the great stuff we could do as owners. Yeah, it'd be, oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
What's our first move?
Let's see. I would sign.
No, you know what it is.
What's that?
We hire Raymond Ritter.
Oh yeah, got a point. What about because Julie finds she
Julie's still there. She can be Rave's boss.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
Raymond Ritter is the best in the business.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
There's no.
What if you guys trade for LeBron?
If he was 28, yeah.
Well, you know we're trading for Clay.
Oh yeah, we definitely do that. First move.
Yeah, what are you trading for Clay though? Like
Cam Johnson.
Our 27 and 29.
Cam Johnson.
Yeah, he's younger. He's younger.
Frank Kaminsky.
Yeah. And right, Ashley Moore.
Hey, we're done. Yeah. We're done. We're
all
done.
Right. Coors Light is the sponsor of Supercross Doc, keeping Southern California chill all season long. Sedano and Cap, both of them, next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Come on. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Bing, ba-dum, bing.
Beep. Ba-da, boop.
Ding, ba-da, beep. Doo, da-da, da. Beep, ba-da, doo, doo, doom.
Ba-dum, boop.
Ding, ba-da, boop.
Bing, da-dum, dum.
Ba-da, doo, doo, doom, doom, doom.
You know, Chris is kind of right. We should have given you more hell for why in God's green earth would you have thought that your girlfriend would not have freaked out when you were at a hotel for 30 minutes?
Right. Well, it was only 27 minutes and 30 seconds because remember, when I pulled in, I had to pay for parking. The first 30 minutes were free. Anything after that was $26 for the half hour.
Right.
So when I looked at my watch, I said, okay, I've got 27 minutes and 30 seconds approximately to take care of this business. And then I went into the bathroom there at the Hilton Irvine and, handled it.
So, like, does she get an alert that you're at some hotel? Like, how does that, does she just randomly check where you are? Like, how does that even work?
I think what happened, George. Yeah, here's what I think happened. So, we get off the air on, this was Monday night. Yeah. And I'm on the road by, call it, I don't know, 10 after 7 or so.
Right.
And by, like, 8 o'clock, I haven't called or checked in. And I knew that she was picking up my daughter. So, now it's like 8 o'clock. She's like, well, I wonder how far away he is. So she goes on to the app. I think it's called Find Me or Find My. It's like just the Apple app, you know?
Yeah.
And then she looks and she's like,
Find My Cappy.
She's right. Fine. That's what it should be called. Right. Where's my man? You know?
And no.
That's not what it. That's not it.
And then,
and then she looks and she's like, wait a second. He's at the Irvine Hilton.
Bro.
What in God's name is he doing there?
Bro.
What's he doing there? Yeah. And then I get back down to the house, and you know, Rachel was good enough to go pick up my daughter, take her to her house, feed her dinner. My daughter's there doing homework. And I walk in and I'm kind of getting a little bit of the cold shoulder.
Yeah.
And the next day, Tuesday afternoon, we had lunch together. And she finally just said to me, she goes, what were you doing in a hotel for 30 minutes last night in Irvine? And I'm like, oh no.
Mm.
Oh no.
She let it stew that long? She waited till the next day to tell you?
I think so. And then I was like, I feel really bad about telling you this, but I had a stomach situation, a gastrointestinal issue at the moment. And I had to pull off to the side of the road. And she goes, wait, you pulled off on the side of the road? And you guys know I carry an extra roll of toilet paper, an extra pair of underpants. I mean, I got everything in my car just in case, you know? And she goes, you pulled off onto the side of the road, but you were in a hotel. I go, no. I pulled off to go to a hotel. She goes, wait, you pulled off the road to go to a hotel to go to the bathroom? I'm like, yeah. She said, why would you do that? And I'm trying to tell everybody, this is a little Cappy life hack here. If you ever need to go to the bathroom desperately, the best place to go is a hotel, because the lobby, nobody's like, sir, you're not a guest here, you know?
Let me ask you a question.
Please, feel free.
Did you feel the stomach stuff coming your way, like, when you left?
No, I kind of felt it about 15, 20 minutes into the ride, and I'm thinking to myself, can I make it home?
Okay.
And about 20 minutes later, it's starting to really hurt badly, to the point where, and everybody probably knows this feeling, where when you're driving, you're having to like make adjustments to the way you're sitting, because you figure like if you just move a certain way, maybe the pain will go away.
Yeah.
Well, it just kept coming back, George. It was like a baby kicking me in the belly, you know?
Okay.
Oh, because you know what that feels like.
No, I don't know what it feels like, but that's just my analogy, you know?
Right.
The only thing that saved you, Cappy, is that it was 27 minutes, and not a lot can happen in 27 minutes in a hotel, because it takes you about 27 minutes to get to the room.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, like, if you go to a hotel and you're going to, like, try and do something, you know.
It's still just weird. Like, it just, you should have probably given, like.
Should have went to a Starbucks, bro.
Yeah, bro.
No, here's why. Here's why. If you go to a Starbucks, there's probably only one, like, place to go.
Yeah.
And then you're taking up space from people. If you go into a hotel lobby bathroom, you've probably got minimum of three or so places to go, including the handicap stall, which is, you know, the very big, wide open kind of thing, you know. So there I was sitting there looking at my phone going, okay, I got 27 minutes and change, because by the time I get done and get out to my car and get back on the road, you know, I don't want to pay the $26 for parking.
Yeah.
And then I definitely felt like she was saying to me, what's your deal? Why would you go to a hotel for 30 minutes? But as Laura points out, I mean, if I'm going to do something, you know, nefarious, I mean, 30 minutes.
Wow, look at you using the word nefarious.
I was trying to come up with the word before I said it.
Yeah.
But I got it. Like, it's going to take a little bit longer than 30 minutes, like maybe 35 to 40, I would say.
Yeah. I do think a hotel bathroom is probably the best public option. You know, maybe like a chain restaurant or something, like just a restaurant. Right?
Well, no,
like,
I don't want to walk into a restaurant, George. I mean, I don't know if I've told you this story or not before, but I had a problem.
You could always just walk into the restaurant and be like, hey, yeah, I'm just meeting somebody here, and then just go to the bathroom.
Well, I had a problem. This is about a year or maybe a little bit longer. So I went to this restaurant. And I don't know, I had this breakfast sandwich. And I'll just say this, greasy sausage patties, I don't even know why I eat them. Because, I mean, I should just eliminate the middleman and throw them right in the can right from the beginning, you know? So I went to this restaurant, I had this greasy sausage patty, and I got to my car and I was like, oh, this isn't good. Now, my decision making at the time was, do I try and make it home or do I go back into the restaurant? And I had this, like, I don't know, almost guilt, if you will. Like, I'm going to walk into the restaurant, go right to the bathroom. People are going to look at me like, did you just come in here to go to the bathroom? And then I'm going to have to explain I was already here, I've already eaten, I've already paid. So I decided to try and go home. I'd say I'm about 5 minutes into about a 10-minute ride, and I'm looking around going, where can I get out of my car? Because this thing's happening right here, right now. And George, when I tell you there was nowhere to go, nowhere to go. And at that moment, I had to make a decision. I could fight this pain for as long as I could, or I could be like Craig Kimbrell, and I could just let it go.
And?
And I had to let it go.
Ooh.
Right there in the car.
Asqueroso.
Oh, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm on my way home, and by this time, I'm like, I've already made a mess, so I might as well just keep it going. I traded that car in the next day, just to be clear, because I tried to clean it, and there was no chance that it was getting cleaned. So the next day, I took it to a car dealership and traded it in the very next day. There is somebody driving around right now going, that's the smell in this car. So
that's really, really gross, Kat.
No, I concur. Well, that's why I was trying to explain to Rachel. I was like, babe, I had to pull off the side of the road and I had to go to a hotel because it was like, you know.
You get yourself into these situations because of how extra you are. All you had to do is like, you know what? You know what, babe? I just needed to take care of some business. I had to be in and out, you know? And she's like, well, you know, just stomach issues. And that's it. You didn't have to go into detail about you did all this to a car and how you didn't want it. That's a lot.
Well, I mean, I just wanted to, you know, have her understand that this was a, you know, a lingering issue. Yeah, I didn't like the accusation, so to speak. You know, the accusation, or at least the tonality of the accusation is like, what are you doing in a hotel in Orange County for 30 minutes?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
well,
listen.
What do you think she's going to say? I would be very suspicious myself because.
No, right. Of course.
You know.
Well, what should I have done? Cat? Turned off my Find Me thing? Because then she's really going to get
suspicious.
Or
you could have just said, hey, I'm running late. I know you picked up my daughter, but I'm running late because I got to poop.
Yeah. It was.
You got to go.
I mean, it was more dramatic than that, George. It was like I was moments away from not making it there.
Okay, you know that's fine. Whatever you want to do, but just say that.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to start doing from now on is before I
mean,
leave,
she's already checking your phone. You might as well check in with her and let her know.
Yeah, that's probably true. I think from now on, when I leave the station on these kinds of nights where I drive that far, I think I'm just going to rock a Depends undergarment or something.
You know what I think you should do, Cap? You should probably go see a doctor. And I'm being dead serious because it sounds like with the frequency of these things occurring, you might have like an issue. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm being dead serious because I care. It doesn't sound like. You should be able to drive more than 2 hours without like worrying about having a bathroom incident.
Yeah, I agree. You know? And by the way, this is a nine out of 10 times. This is a 1 in 100 times kind of thing.
Oh, you made it sound like it happens all the time because.
Well, I mean,
for
a normal person,
underwear.
I mean, for a normal person, that is all the time.
Okay.
You know, I mean, 1 in 100 is a lot.
Okay.
I mean, do you guys have these problems?
I don't have to carry extra underwear and toilet paper.
No, yeah, I don't have to do any of that. No. Yeah, well, no.
I just do that just to be safe, you know.
No,
no,
none of that.
The fact
stuff
that you even like think that you need to do that tells me that this happens more frequently than most people. That's all I'm saying.
It's a fair assessment, actually.
I'll just tell you guys this right now. Next time we're all leaving the station together and everybody's getting into their car, I'll be curious to see which one of you is the first to say to me. Yo, man, can I get a couple of squares? Because on my way home, who knows what happens?
Never.
Never.
You don't think so, huh?
No.
Cap, you're like that kid when, like, the family goes somewhere like, oh, we're going on a little bit of a drive to grandma's house. Hey, do you have to go to the bathroom? You should at least try to go because you never know.
Yeah, it's like, basically what we do with Mateo when we leave the house.
Yes.
Yep, and my goddaughter, who is about 5 years old.
That's you.
Mm-hmm. Listen, put me in a diaper and put me in a car seat and let's roll.
Okay.
Ew.
All right. Coming up next. Sean McVay was on Mason in Ireland today, and I thought there was something that he said that made me wish that he was on with us.
Was it not really?
No, because I had a follow-up to a question that John asked that I thought was a great question. But I had one more follow-up based on stuff that you and I have learned, Cappy, about Matthew Stafford. So it was a question about Stafford. I want to get into that on the other side. You like a little No Doubt, Cappy?
Yeah, I do. And you know how much I love tribute bands. I have a tribute band that I really like called No Duh. And obviously you can figure out that they're a No Doubt tribute band. And the girl who sings, the girl who plays the lead role, she rocks it, man. So I love it. Yeah.
Do they open up for your other tribute
Yes,
band
they opened for the Foo's Fighters last time I saw No Dummy. Right. And also on that bill that day was the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Isn't that cool? It's true. I love tribute
bands.
The
community is littered with memes of people pooping, thanks to you. I think of actually, when you tell your story, I think of like, and I know you haven't seen this movie, but you probably should because I feel like you'd like it. Bridesmaids, where they go to like some Brazilian steakhouse or something. And,
oh my God.
And
so
then
good.
Afterwards they go to try on wedding dresses and like stuff like that. And they end up having to poop themselves in the fancy wedding store.
That's such a
$30,000 bride's dress or wedding dress.
Yeah. But then I feel like that would be you.
The worst part of this whole story is that, again, when your significant other questions you and then you have to like tell them like, oh, God, I didn't want to tell you. But the reason I had to pull over was this. Then I have to go into a little bit more detail. Like, well, what happened was is over the course of the weekend, you know, I was in this house and there were so many people in the house and my bedroom was downstairs and there was a powder room next to the bathroom. And that was kind of the community bathroom. So I really like didn't feel so great, but I didn't want to go there because everybody else was going to knock on the door or people were going to come in thereafter. So it took me a long time till I finally worked up the nerve to say to my buddy Alex, I go, yo, I'm going up to your bedroom. I'm closing the door and give me like 27 minutes and 30 seconds. I'll be back. A minute. Just, I don't know. The whole thing, my whole stomach was all screwed up. My stomach never gets messed up traveling, but for whatever reason, this past weekend, it did.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm kind of with Lindsay, though. I mean, if you're traveling with toilet paper in the car and extra underwear, there's probably more to this story than you're letting on. But nonetheless, we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Cap, did you give the line from the movie Friday when he's like, going to be about 35 to 45 minutes?
Oh, right. Right. Get in here.
That's just
Get
a funny way to do it, you know?
Let's flush this down and
nicely done, George.
Yes.
Nicely done. Very nice.
So Sean McVay was on with his weekly appearance with Mason in Ireland, and I thought Ireland asked a really good question about Matthew Stafford, because you and I have been talking about his arm, the interceptions, blah blah blah, et cetera, and how this year it just feels a little different for one reason or another. So Ireland, Laura, play the sound of Ireland asking him the question, because I would have a follow up that I wish I could have like. Text Ireland in time, but I did not hear it until after the fact.
Don't tell me your follow up until I hear it, because I want to guess.
No, because I was listening on the app, so I knew I was a minute or two behind. So
I want to guess your follow up.
Okay, go ahead.
Sean McVay, head coach of the Rams, is with us. Sean, Matthew Stafford led you guys to a Super Bowl last year, but he takes chances, and because he takes chances, every once in a while there are interceptions, not always his fault. But I'm wondering, when you look at that, I know how much you talk about the turnover margin and how important it is to take care of the ball. Do you say things to Matt, or do you want him on the edge? Do you want him being aggressive, and you'll live with the interceptions as long as he gives you all that good stuff?
Yeah, I think what you got to do is a special player like him, you got to let him play. You want to be aggressive, but you want to be smart. And we learn from all of those, no different than I learned from some of my decisions. And, you know, every single, whether it's every play or every game, offers learning opportunities. And so I think the key thing that you said is every single one of them has a little bit different story. And while the quarterback gets pegged for those, they're not all on him. And so that's where you have to, you know, be able to talk about the specific ones, identify it, and then be able to move forward. But I thought he played a great game the other day. I thought the one by Walker was a great play by him as kind of a free low hole defender when they were in a man coverage. And then the other one was something that we can learn from. And I know Matthew will be better, to avoid the one where Casey Hayward got it.
Okay.
Okay. You want to guess my follow-up?
Yeah. So I'm going to guess your follow-up is, do you think that he's throwing more interceptions as a result of the injured elbow?
Right. It would have been that, because of what we learned when you and I played that sound the other day from Jay Glazer, who is as plugged in as anyone in the league. Laura, do you have that sound? Yeah, because he was on the Dan Le Batard show the other day on their podcast and was asked about Matthew Stafford. And he actually revealed something that it has not been discussed anywhere but their show and our show, Cap, because I have listened to a lot of NFL shows over the last few days, including shows on this station that talk about the Rams. And no one else is talking about it other than us and clearly, well, them for that one day. So play the sound from Glazer on with Le Batard.
Same as last year. That's really it. I mean, he had the same thing last year. He played through it. That's why he had interceptions last year. And, you know, it's Stafford's a tough dude. Like, injuries, if you just go back in Detroit, the injuries he played through, and same here with the Rams, man, it's hard to keep that guy out. So, but I'm going to say it's the same as last year. He was hurt last year. He was really hurt last year. It's still there. So they didn't do enough to really subside the pain from what he had a year ago. But he played with it last year, so I would say he could play with it again.
Yeah, that's not like a small detail there.
Well, no, I mean, to think that, you know, here's Jay, who, you know, has in that same podcast talked about how close he and McVay are and how they, you know, I think Jay trained him or this is how you and I got into the discussion about kicking each other in the leg, as I recall.
Yeah.
Because McVay,
after the fact, right, he told the story about McVay saying, yeah, those leg kicks in the UFC, they can't really hurt that bad, do they? And then he kicked him in the leg.
Right,
yeah.
And then Jay said, well, stand up and let me show you, tough guy.
Yeah.
And he kicked him and it hurt.
Yeah.
So if Jay and Sean are as close as I think they are.
They are close. Yeah, they do a podcast together. I don't know if they still do, but they did.
Well, assuming they're super
close.
And
they're close, hanging out watching the UFC together.
Right. So
that's more than you and me.
Right. So here's the thing. They're friends outside of just one guy's covering a team and the other guy is like, okay, you're cool. You know, you're with the network, and I'm going to use you as my guy to give you information. These guys have a relationship outside of the football offices.
Yeah.
So where do you think Jay Glazer gets the information that Stafford was hurt last year and that it's the same situation this year? And, by the way, the one thing he said
he's pretty tight with everybody, so I would imagine it could even be from the source itself, to be honest with you.
Well, right, but I'm just putting two and two together, and what he said, which I think is really interesting, is – they, meaning the Rams / Stafford, did not do enough to subside the pain.
Yeah.
So while I can respect the fact that Matthew Stafford is a very, very tough guy.
He is. There's no question. He played with a broken back, basically, a couple years ago.
I mean, this guy, when he was with Detroit, got his ass handed to him pretty much every game.
Yeah.
So he is a tough guy. He can play through pain. But it surprises me that if he was hurt all of last year, you would think that you go into the offseason and you say, let's work on it. Now, we didn't find out until the opening game that he did some sort of I'm not sure what the treatment is called.
PRP.
Okay. So, you know what that is?
Platelet replacement something? I don't know.
Yeah, very good. So, obviously, whatever treatment they did has not done enough to, A, subside the pain, or, B, fix the problem. So I guess our assumption should then be that whatever he did last year, be prepared for him to do that or perhaps even more of that this year. And George, through two games, Stafford, 73% completion, pretty good, real good. 512 yards passing, okay. Four touchdowns, five picks, and a quarterback rating of 80. Four touchdowns, five picks, two games.
Yeah, not great. Not great, Bob. I got to be honest with you. By the way, platelet-rich plasma therapy is what it's
right. called. So that's where they take like the blood, the plasma, they pull it out.
Kobe did this to his knee a number of years ago.
Right, then they spin it. I don't know what the spinning of it all
Peyton
does.
Did Manning also do this? I could be wrong about that.
But I think he was like over in Germany trying to get his neck fixed, right? And then they take the blood and then they pull it out of your body, then they spin it, and then they reinsert it, and it's supposed to be some sort of a therapeutic. I actually kind of sound like I know what I'm talking about right here, don't I? Kind
I mean,
of like
not really.
No, I mean like a little bit maybe?
No. It reminded me one time as a broadcaster, it was the moment I was in over my skis the most. I remember doing Do you know who Christine Brennan is?
Yes, I know who Christine Brennan is.
Obviously very famous sports columnist for USA
right?
Today.
Yes.
She's an incredible journalist. Mm-hmm. So she was paid to do hits with me about the Winter Olympics at a place I was working at previous many, many, many years ago. And there was a that night, and look, I'm not watching the Winter Olympics all that closely, okay? Like it was the middle of like the football season and the NBA is going on. I'm like, you know, like I'm no offense, I'm not watching like all this stuff. So something happened that night where there was a some sort of feat that had never been accomplished before in figure skating. It was some sort of jump that had never been done. And I tried to basically word salad my way through it. And kind of like you just did right there.
Yeah.
And she just basically said, yeah. And she just said whatever the name of it was. Yeah, she did the blah, blah, blah.
Triple
and like
Lindy?
Made it seem so easy. And I was like, yes, that's exactly it, Christine. That's what I was referring to. Thank you.
The triple Lindy. was, I think, what happened.
Something like that, yes, yeah. Probably. It actually, you know what? The triple Lindy,
I think, was the dive that Rodney Dangerfield did in the movie Back to School. Yeah. So check
but that's
on
what
that.
It sounded like when you were just explaining the PRP replacement.
But thing. I think I'm somewhat in the
You're
right
in the
neighborhood.
You're right. By the way, it like concentrates all of your plasma, so it helps you heal faster.
PRP treatments can enhance restoration. The blood
I had
cells
one.
Contain growth factors.
Really, you had one?
Same. Yeah, I've had one shot. Too. Yeah.
It was all right. I mean, Clapper's not a fan.
Yeah. Patients own blood cells to accelerate the healing in a specific area.
Right. So that's what they did. They tried to do something in the off season to subside the pain, but it doesn't sound like what they really went to work on is fixing what the problem is.
Yeah.
And so if Matthew Stafford threw 17 picks, I think that was the number last year, he's already got 5 through 2 games. And what Jay is saying is be prepared. He's a tough guy. He plays through pain, but he threw a bunch of picks last year because he was hurt, and he's still hurt, so he's probably going to throw a whole bunch of picks this year too.
Yeah, no, that's probably what's going to happen.
You want to compare Stafford for a moment to Jared Goff?
No, let's do that later.
Okay, because I want to tell you, man, the numbers are they're in
yeah,
the favor
no, I know.
Of the guy.
I know the numbers too.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I got the numbers.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, we can save that for later in the show.
Okay, you got it.
We want people to stick around.
Did a deep dive on some research today, George.
Okay, we got to wrap. Laura says we got to wrap.
No.
Okay, go wrap.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this song. Can't get enough for your love, baby. Love this song. It's one of my all-time faves.
You know, this
Can't get enough for your love, baby.
We were talking about famous people who liked the station the other day.
Yep.
And during Crosstalk, and we mentioned Freddie Prinze Jr. There was, I forgot which movie it was. He did a movie with Julia Stiles where this was in the movie. This song was in the movie, I'm pretty sure, if I recall correctly.
Great song.
Yeah.
Oh, baby. I can't get enough of your love, baby. Oh, oh.
Why do you make it Bob Dylan? I thought of you yesterday because when I was driving to pick up food for us after the show,
mm-hmm.
there was a commercial for Ohana Fest.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I will be there next Friday night.
All 3 days or no?
Friday night, Stevie Nicks is playing. That's something I really want to see. Prior to Stevie Nicks at 9 o'clock, I don't really have a whole lot of interest in anything. Saturday night, Eddie Vedder's playing. I've never seen Eddie play without Pearl Jam. And last year, I told you, Pearl Jam playing at Ohana Fest was just a completely religious experience right there on the beach at Doheny State Beach.
Yeah.
So I'm going to broadcast on Friday from there, from the hotel that
the
I'm staying
Cappy
in.
The CappyCast.
Correct. It will be a CappyCast.
Yeah.
I will do the show from there, 4 to 7, get off the air at 7, and bam, I'm right in.
Yeah. Nice.
Rachel tried to tell me I needed to take the day off next Friday. I'm like, I can't do it. Just can't
do
it.
So you're not doing this show next Friday?
Of course I'm doing this show next Friday.
Oh.
I'm going to broadcast from the hotel.
Oh, okay.
Don't know how I'm going to do that quite yet, but I'm working on it.
Careful. Remember, make sure Rachel knows you're at the hotel.
Oh, she'll be there with me. Yeah, this time she'll be with me.
Okay. Real quick, Cappy.
Yeah.
So, the Raiders.
Talk to me.
Now, I don't want to go this far just yet because I believe there needs to be a larger sample size. And I don't even think one season is a representative sample size in this scenario. Okay. But I am a big believer in sports that some guys are really great assistants and some guys and ladies for that matter, obviously. And some people are meant to be head coaches. Would you agree with that? Or do you disagree with that?
No, I think that it's been proven time and time again that some guys are and girls, it doesn't really matter, are just better in a coordinator role or a position coaching role, and then they get an opportunity to be a head coach, and that doesn't work out so well.
So Josh McDaniels came in with a lot of pomp and circumstance to the Denver Broncos. Remember the whole Tebow thing? He thought he was smarter than everybody with the Tebow stuff, and it ended very poorly there for him, if you recall.
Although Tebow did win that game.
That one playoff game that the Steelers decided to play cover zero in that one play. Because they were so disrespectful to Tebow that they were like, we don't even need to put anybody in the back, okay? We're just going to come and get you. And he got him. So, but it ended poorly there for Josh McDaniels, if you recall, with the Denver Broncos. Like,
didn't last that long. Yeah.
Yeah, he was. I would say it was very Lane Kiffin-esque in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
And when I mean Lane Kiffin, I mean Lane Kiffin with USC.
So, oh, you don't mean Lane Kiffin with the Raiders?
No. But Josh McDaniels now with the Raiders is getting his second opportunity. And look, he had an opportunity to take the Colts job a couple years ago, and he took it and then left. Like, he backed out, like, the last second. And
yeah, and he learned that from Bill Belichick, too.
Yeah. So this is kind of it, right, for him? Like, if he doesn't get this right. Now, granted, the schedule did them no favors, but this is going to be one of those opportunities where we see, can Josh McDaniels learn from that experience, learn again from the knee of Bill Belichick, and learn to be a head coach? Or is he going to be one of those guys that we look at like a Norv Turner?
Well, I mean, Norv Turner is a good example of a guy who had a really great career as a coordinator, won a few Super Bowls with the Cowboys on Jimmy Johnson's staff.
Had a decent career as a head coach, but never was really the guy. Like, at the end of the day, he took a bunch of other guys' teams and did pretty well with them, and then eventually when it became his teams, they didn't look so great anymore.
Well, that's 100% true. Believe me, I saw a lot of that from the front row when Marty Schottenheimer led the San Diego Chargers to a 14-2 record. They fired him in the offseason because 14-2 is not good enough. And Norv Turner took over that team in the first year. He went to the AFC Championship game, and then the team trended downward from there.
Right.
Although I will just tell you one other side note to this, George. Norv Turner, in real life.
Sided note?
Yep, thank you. Norv Turner, great guy.
Unbelievably great guy.
Great guy, okay?
So I say that, and it's like one of those things that I don't want to make it feel like I'm... It does come across demeaning no matter which way you put it, but I don't want it to feel like I'm knocking the man, right? I'm talking about just strictly the ability to be a head coach.
Well, look, I think that if we're going to start trying to make comparisons, we can throw every name out there we want to, but we would probably just be better off doing this. Tell me a guy that comes from the Bill Belichick coaching tree of all the guys that he's ever had working for him. Going back to Charlie Weiss, Romeo Crennel, what was the guy's name that was just Bill O'Brien in Houston?
Yeah.
The list goes on of guys that have coached for Belichick.
Saban is probably the most, and he's not an NFL guy.
No, but I mean, I'm talking about just guys who have gotten NFL head coaching jobs.
Yeah.
And you look
But Saban in the NFL was not good.
But you look at all these guys, and I can't think of
There's not a guy.
That has become a successful NFL
head coach. Sean McVay has a better coaching tree than Bill Belichick.
100%. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, you got the guy in Green Bay, you got the guy in Cincinnati, and they've already done great, and you got Kevin O'Connell now in Minnesota. So,
yeah.
And Brandon Staley, who, I mean, he's kind of part of the tree for only 1 year. But all these Belichick guys go to places, and everybody says, do for us what Belichick did. I mean, he taught you, right? You know what Belichick did in New England, so come do that here with us.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It hasn't worked.
Yeah. So I'm wondering with the Raiders if they made the right decision. And again, I don't want to jump on this too early, but it is, let's just say, you know how we do overreaction Monday, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you know, my overreaction was the Raiders aren't making the playoffs because in the 3 years that they've changed this new format, 27 teams have started 0-2. None of those 27 teams have made the playoffs. Now, what I'm going to look, this is one of those where it's not an overreaction. I'm not saying that Josh McDaniel can't be a good head coach the second time around. I'm just saying it's something I'm keeping an eye on.
You know what makes a head coach look really good?
A quarterback?
Yes.
Yeah.
Josh McDaniels, when he was in Denver, he had Tim Tebow. He really bet his career as a head coach in Denver on Tim Tebow. Didn't exactly work out. There was a time where Tebow was okay. They were winning games. They made it to the playoffs. Okay, fine. He's got Derek Carr. You and I documented this yesterday. People were pissed at me yesterday when I said that Derek Carr is no better than Kirk Cousins.
I saw that. Now, I actually stood up for Derek Carr a little bit there because I said, yeah, I think he's better than Kirk Cousins. But that was literally the extent of the conversation I had with you.
Yeah,
but then I looked back later.
People were pissed.
On the Twitter community, and yeah, they were not thrilled with
you.
Well,
look,
comment.
Tough luck, everybody. I mean, I don't know what to tell you guys. I mean, Derek Carr...
I mean,
is
it's the first time the community has crossed you there, Cappy.
I guess
so.
I mean, well, listen, Raider fans, you know, they get hurt. They, you know, the reality, it hurts them. Here's the reality. Guys like Derek Carr, guys like Kirk Cousins, I'll use a previous example. Guys like Tony Romo from a previous generation, Philip Rivers, these guys all put up numbers, but none of them ever really won anything. And with Derek Carr, I mean, we can all look and say, well, he hasn't had the roster. He hasn't had the weapons. Okay, I could make the argument that the reason Derek Carr hasn't elevated to superstar quarterback is because of all the transition in the organization throughout his entire career. But the facts are the facts. He hasn't really done very much by way of winning or even coming close to sniffing a championship.
Yeah.
That's the same for a guy like Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. Yeah, not ideal. But I mean, if I was judging them individually, I would still take Derek Carr slightly.
Well, let me ask you this question. You ready? You're kind of getting to this point here that the question about Josh McDaniels is he in over his head? Will he not succeed?
No, I don't think he's Nathaniel Hackett. Like, well, okay,
that's
Hackett
what I was going to get to.
Clearly looks over in over
okay,
his
that,
head.
Okay, that's what I was going to get to.
That's not what I think of Josh McDaniels.
Okay, so so if you had to bet.
Like, Nathaniel Hackett, like, if he got let go, like, midway through the season, I would not be stunned at this stage.
Yeah. So you're going to bet on.
I know
on,
he was your ball boy, I believe, in college.
He was my ball boy.
Yeah.
So if you had to bet on one of these two coaches, who will be more successful? Or maybe I should go the opposite direction. Who will be fired first? McDaniels or Hackett?
Oh, Hackett. Not even close. Yeah, not even close. One guy has never even called plays, to my estimation. Like, I could be wrong about that, but, I mean, Nathaniel Hackett wasn't calling plays in Green Bay.
Nathaniel Hackett, Josh McDaniels, all these guys, I'm telling you right now, if I could give these guys one piece of advice, and it's free, so if you don't like it, throw it out.
Yeah.
Dude, stop calling plays and follow the game. Don't give your defense to a coach and go, I'll just worry about the offense. Be the head coach, make decisions, work clock management, and trust your people. That's these guys' problems, George. They're all control freaks.
Yeah. No, that is that, and young coaches all make that mistake. I'm with that same mistake. I'm with you. Hey, coming up next, Russ's wife, Russell Westbrook, not Russell Wilson, shares a cryptic social media post amid the Lakers trade discussions being afoot, according to Shams Charania. We'll get to all that coming up in just a moment. Stick around, plus what you need to know, 710 ESPN.